It's time to talk to Mike Florio, brought to you by Goodrich & Geist. Get the good guys, Goodrich & Geist. Mike Florio, also brought to you by JP Roofing & Siding, your hometown roofing expert. Mike from ProFootballTalk.com, PFT Live. Brooke Pryor, ESPN Steelers reporter at the Owners Summit in Minneapolis, Mike, gleaned that the Steelers don't have a deadline at all on Rodgers, and she heard that he could show up at any time. If he wants to pull a Brett Favre and show up in the preseason, they would be fine with that. Is that also what you've heard?
I have not heard that. I remember at one point Mike Tomlin said the line of demarcation is the start of training camp. But, you know, when you've basically taken the position that we'll wait for this guy indefinitely, you've given him a license to take indefinitely to show up. I was intrigued by Ian O'Connor's comments to you guys from Friday about his thoughts based upon the people he knows, and he wrote that Rodgers biography, that it's coming sooner rather than later, and I think there is benefit in being present for OTAs and mandatory minicamp. But yeah, Favre didn't show up until the middle of August, and I remember there was reporting of a schism within the Vikings because some of the players wanted Tarvaris Jackson, not Brett Favre, and Favre showed up for one practice, and you know what happened? Favre started throwing missiles all over the place, and the schism went away.
So I guess the assumption is that would happen with Aaron Rodgers then, you think? He's still got enough left in the tank to be that guy?
I think the minute he shows up, starts firing the ball around, and because his arm strength really is in his arm, it's not the full body dry heave that Kirk Cousins has to do, and at age 41, he can still fire it like he always has. Yeah, I think when he shows up and players who have been there through the quarterback they've had since Ben Roethlisberger retired, they'll be saying, holy crap, and the delay and the consternation, and this isn't like the Steelers to do this, and either wants to be a Steeler or he doesn't, that's all forgotten after his first practice.
Mike, are you convinced that this is really just about him not wanting to go through what he deems to be pointless exercises to get him ready for a season? Or do you believe this still could be about him hoping another team has a quarterback issue or injury that pops up and not wanting to pick the Steelers before that better, greener pasture appears?
It could be both. And I had someone who knows him but doesn't know anything specifically about his deliberations as it relates to 2025 made a very good point week and a half ago that when you look at the distractions, the two different distractions that he could be creating, one, he's not signed with the team and he's out there hovering. That's one distraction. The other distraction would be signs with the team, skips phase one and phase two of the offseason program. That's a different distraction. That's a greater distraction. Then you've got players asking, having to answer questions. Where's Rodgers? Do you wish he was here? You know, if you talk to him, all that stuff. And Tomlin having to deal with it. So the lesser distraction is just not be signed. And he does hate the first two phases of the offseason program. And, you know, it all makes sense for him to be there by next Tuesday when the OTAs start. But we're running out of time for him to show up before we get to next Tuesday.
Mike, I think Ross Tucker was the one who brought this up and just kind of made this open-ended statement or kind of musing about the whole thing. Because we were trying to figure out, based on Ben Roethlisberger saying he thought they were an 11-win team with Rodgers, a 7-win team with Rudolph. Say they go 10-7 with Rodgers, and it's another first-round playoff exit, or they don't even make it at 10-7 because it's a strong year in the AFC. What exactly would be gained at that point by having had Rodgers here for a year?
Nothing. But I still think they're better with Rodgers than they are without him. And the DK Metcalf move, which the Steelers have never done anything like that.
Yep.
And for them to have done that tells me they're willing to do things differently because they want to end this drought of no playoff victory that dates back to the 2016 season. So I think Rodgers makes them better, and Rodgers makes it more likely that they get to where they want to go by way of winning a playoff game. I don't know that he gets them to the Super Bowl, but he gets them farther than they've gotten in almost 10 years. And there's a desperation that is reflected by the fact that they're doing stuff they've never done before. The Metcalf trade and contract they've never done before. Staying on bended knee while waiting for an answer to the proposal, and they've been on bended knee for 2 months now. That's something they've never done before. And I think it smacks of a desperation that they embrace because they recognize they have to do some things differently to get beyond where they've been recently.
Mike, I'll go one more in the extreme then. If they win one playoff game and then get bounced in the divisional round, again, what will all of that have actually accomplished in any kind of a long-term sense?
Well, nothing. It just leads to a better season. And you still need a long-term answer at quarterback, but none of those guys are around. It's not Mason Rudolph. It's not Skylar Thompson. Maybe it's Will Howard. I don't know. But Will Howard's not going to play this year. They still need to find a long-term quarterback, and maybe through the course of getting the most they can out of Aaron Rodgers, they recognize through practice and meetings and et cetera that Will Howard can be developed into the answer.
Mike, the Steelers are one of 22 teams who voted to ban the push-tush. My take on that is if the ethos of your team is we're all about blue-collar physical football, we want to be the tougher team wins, how does a team with the background and history of the Steelers vote to get rid of the tush push, Mike? I was surprised by the Steelers having that opinion. What's your take on it?
Well, because they went along with what the principal wanted. I think that's what it came down to. And from the moment that Lions president Rod Wood admitted that, and there was no reason for this, he just kind of blurted it out, that the league had come to them and instigated them to make the proposal for changing the playoff seeding, that's when I thought, hey, you know what? I bet the league did the same thing with the Packers on this tush-push thing. And we reported earlier today that's exactly what happened, that the league got the Packers to do it. The league wanted this. And
because they don't have an owner, right? Isn't that the convenient part of it for them if they make the Packers do it?
Yeah, that's part of it. But the Packers still have to carry around this stink now, and they're embarrassed by it. They would have been better off finding a team from the AFC to be the standard bearer for this thing, or just do it through the normal process, through the competition committee. I don't like the idea of using some fiction, like creating some perception of a grassroots effort starting with a team. It's weird that the NFL does this now, but it could be just kind of going along. You know, weren't the Steelers against the Thursday night flexing, and didn't they end up getting a couple of short week Thursday night games that first year because of it? I remember several teams that were
absolutely
Thursday
happened.
Night flexing got retaliated against. And I think that from Art Rooney's perspective, it's probably better to go along to get along.
Mike, do you?
I don't know that, but I just think that makes sense.
You think Jason Kelce had any legitimate impact in how this vote ended up transpiring when he apparently went in there and gave his impassioned speech in favor of keeping it?
Well, I think between Jeffrey Lurie and Jason Kelce, the idea that they really went straight for the argument that, hey, look, all these different excuses you're giving are bullcrap. You're moving the goalposts. You're saying it's a safety risk, and we ask you for data. Oh, well, we don't have any, but it could be a safety risk. You know, one of the things Jeffrey Lurie, the owner of the team, said today is it's a safety risk if you take it away. So I don't think this is dead either. It was a 22-10 vote. All they need is two no's to become yeses by next year, and I think they'll keep at it because this is something that the league wanted. The commissioner is 1-for-3 this week. They got the Olympics flag football participation. They withdrew the Lions playoff seating, which the league instigated and which I'm told the commissioner wanted, and they blew this one too. That's not a good batting average for the guy whose name is on every football.
I do not understand the Olympic thing. I do understand that they want more money and more exposure, and that's what the NFL is all about. But we're going to have Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill playing against guys from Nigeria. Mike, I mean, what are we doing here with that? What's the point of that?
Well, there's a lot of ready, fire, aim that's going on in the league office right now, and I think this is an example of it. It's a very simple logic. They want to take advantage of the international platform to grow the game globally, and if they grow the game globally, they make more money off of their international games, and they've got a 100-year plan. I think they won't admit this, but they'd like to catch soccer the way that 50 years ago it would have been inconceivable that football would catch baseball in America, and they're fully committed to it. But, hey, there's, you know, I love rooting for the underdog. Now, when it's time for the Olympics, it's USA, USA, and I check the medal standings every day and, you know, make sure we're staying ahead of China or whoever else the top competition is. But the idea of a bunch of NFL players barnstorming into a type of football that is dramatically different from tackle football and potentially having circles run around them by season flag football players, that's must-see TV.
Season?
And it's a no-win proposition for NFL players.
I agree with that, Mike, but hold on.